right, folks, welcome to this episode of Beyond the Resume, a Jackson Lucas podcast. Today, Lisa and I spoke to John Slavitt. John, I know John from his time when he started at, he was at WeWork. He ran the West Coast of the U.S. and Canada. Then he moved over to Central. He started a podcast of February 2024, focused on, it's called Halftime with John. And it's focused on guys like me, middle-aged guys, divorced with kids. And I figured there might be a lot of my audience out there would enjoy it. You can see his he started out not in real estate, got into real estate, and took his experiences in real estate and transitioned it into this podcast. So a little bit different story than normal, but definitely interesting, and I think can be a good source for some folks looking to maybe do a career change, or a good resource for guys in their middle age who got divorced. And with that, please enjoy the podcast. Well, John Slavitt, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, good to be here. Good to be with you both.
And you are I met you, I don't know if you remember, years ago, you were at WeWork.
Yes.
You were a managing director here. I think you oversaw all of the Western U.S. or all the U.S. and Canada, I forget. Something, it was a pretty...
Yeah, it started as sort of the West Coast, and then it became the sort of the left half of North America over time.
A left? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good half.
It's a good half.
And then we're over at Central as your CEO for a while. And then I don't know what happened. Something happened. And then you became a podcast host and you got this amazing podcast. It's called Halftime with John. Can you just tell us about the podcast? And then we can kind of go into like the career journey and.
Sure.
Yes.
I'd love to. Well, thanks so much for having me. I'm very excited to be with you both. Good energy in the virtual room here.
Thanks.
Let's see. Well, in reverse order, the podcast is a personal expression and also a business. I went through a very difficult separation divorce many years. And anyone who goes through one of those life events, hopefully you come out with learning through the pain and the growth, right? That's the goal of this life. So very difficult experience. And I became an advisor to so many people, particularly men, going through the same thing. I'd be traveling the country, sitting down with someone, you know, in the context of a real estate transaction or Central or WeWork, and say, how you doing? And he'd inevitably say, what's up? Going through a separation. And the whole conversation, the whole lunch or dinner would be about what can I offer this person from my experience to help him or her? And that happened so many times. And then I started a Zoom group for a lot of these people just to have them talk to each other and support them. And when I was in the process of leaving Central, which is less than a year ago, I decided that I would align who I am right now in my life, some of my earliest passions around producing, communicating, self-help, and start a media company. So Halftime with John is focused on the 130 million Americans in their 40s to 60s, 130 million. And most people arrive at midlife with some sense, or many do, some sense of regret, or things could be different or better, or I want a shift. So we're dedicated to making the second half of life the best half. That's what the show's all about. We talk to experts in sex and relationships, money and career, health and fitness, you name it, all focused on how do we maximize the second half of life. So that's where it came from. I'm also still a real estate entrepreneur. I invest in multifamily real estate, and I'm actually in the process of helping to raise a fund to invest in Israeli real estate. I'm a board member of this fund. So I'm still one foot in real estate.
Uh-huh. I think we just found Lisa's new favorite podcast.
No, seriously. I was thinking, I know what I'm going to be doing.
Check it out.
I know what I'll be doing this weekend. This seems like it fits exactly into what I love to do, what I love to listen to. It's Huberman Lab plus real estate.
Yes, and I'd love your feedback. So check out Halftime with John. The site is halftime.network or, Halftime with John on YouTube or Apple Podcast, anywhere you would find a podcast.
We are all very focused in my home and in my community on kind of what we call the back nine and making sure you end up with no regrets. And I agree with you. And Chris and I spend a lot of time coaching executives and who feel like, okay, I've gotten to this point in my career, what's missing? And, you know, becoming that holistic person is so important.
Yeah, I kind of went through my midlife transition earlier in my midlife, thankfully. So I went through that in my early 30s. And the separation and stuff was the impetus for that. But I mean, it transitioned. And I've had multiple other ones throughout the rest of my life. But and like you, all of a sudden, I found myself surrounded by all my friends and they were all getting divorced. And they would come to me, you know, all the time. I still get it. It's great. It's great to be able to share my experience and be able to help people with my experience. But, you know, it's pretty awesome. So anyways, let's start out with you. Like, who are you? Where'd you grow up? Did you always dream of living in Palo Alto and podcasting?
Let me start. I'll try to make this really brief. I don't want to bore anyone. Born in Boston, and grew up in Boston, Cambridge, the Boston suburbs, big family in Boston. Product of a corporate lawyer father and an artist, sculptor, painter mother. So I've got kind of the left and the right brain always, either in harmony or maybe, you know, rubbing up against each other. Always entrepreneurial. So I started a college business, a publishing business, and I wanted and needed to make money in college. And that was extremely exciting. It was actually called the Over the Hill book. I went to Dartmouth College. Dartmouth is known as the College on the Hill. And we basically created Facebook before Facebook. It was a Facebook, literally a printed Facebook of all the kids. So I missed that train in the digital world. But I spent a decade in media on the business side. I spent a decade doing my own startups. And I spent a decade now starting, you know, prop tech / real estate companies with big funds or big backers. And that's led me to where I am now. I've got an ex-wife. We have three kids together. The oldest is a sophomore in college. The next oldest is a senior in high school. And I've got a fifth grader, a stepson who's a first grader, and a baby coming in December. So my life is very full. I have an amazing wife who I thank God for. She's the most amazing person. I've really found my partner in life. She's a lawyer and wonderful family that I've married into the second time. And, you know, I think focusing on feeling good, being grateful, being of service, and putting all my energies into things where I can really make a difference.
Did you go to school with Michael Pence? Do you know Michael Pence by any chance?
Michael Pence. Do you know
he's around your age?
Sounds familiar.
He went to Dartmouth. Anyways, he lives in Menlo Park. He's a
sounds
guy.
Familiar.
And so you started out, you said, in the media world, it's kind of gone full circle. I'm just looking at your background here. You were doing an NPR, which is really cool.
It was.
My first goal in life was to be Charlie Rose's intern. I wanted to be Charlie Rose's intern, and I applied.
I used to watch Charlie Rose all the time.
He took one intern a year, and I never got it.
Really?
Yeah, apparently. And
he talked a lot.
He talked a lot. And it's got your background there, too, the black.
He had my background. He had a table, right, and it's just him and the guest. And I actually, it's funny, Chris, you mentioned this because that was part of the inspiration for going really simple in my background here in this home studio. Little different in the next studio, but yes, I like the Charlie Rose reference.
Awesome. How did you switch into from, you know, doing, you were at Roden Fields. It was not what I would have considered like a typical real estate background.
No, right? Not at all.
And then it looks like you were really successful in that world, this other world. And like, one, why did you make the switch and kind of how did you make the switch?
That's a great question. So yeah, I spent a decade sort of, you know, working for direct to consumer, digital kinds of companies, starting them or working for them. And I got a call one day from Jana Rich from Rich Talent Group. She's very well known, you know, in the Bay Area on the West Coast in executive search. And she said, we're doing a search for Adam Neumann at WeWork. And do you want to go meet him? We think your entrepreneurial profile fits what they're looking for. And I said, sure, why not? And I'd heard things, you know, this is 2015.
I'd heard things. The company at that point was 4 years old. I'd heard a little bit. Some of my friends said, you're wacky to go do that, to go, you know. I said, no, I'm going to go check it out. So I went to New York, and I was hired by the COO, but Adam was the one who spent 3 hours with me walking around the city talking. And we connected enough, and I went, and I, you know, worked for that company. It ended up being about a 4-year run. And yeah, obviously there's lots of water under that bridge of WeWork. I had a very positive experience personally, and also a very positive experience with Adam as an individual. I found him individually honorable and fun to work with, and difficult.
Yeah.
In terms of demanding and expectations. But, you know, that's the way that goes. And of course, we can talk more about that experience, but that's what got me into PropTech.
But how did it take a lot to learn about the real estate side? Because it seems like from your background, you didn't have any or real estate experience at all, really. What did you have to learn? Like, what skill sets did you have to learn?
Yeah. Well, you know, what I had experience in was a lot on the digital side. I had experience scaling organizations. How do you create efficient processes to identify talent, train them up, and get them into an organization? I had experience with national organizations. I knew how to run stuff. You know, I was competent to look at a goal, put together a plan, put together a team, and just go at it. So I had a lot of people on the team with a lot more real estate experience than I did. But remember this, Chris. WeWork, in its earliest stages, was that we did leases with landlords, negotiated TIs, created the WeWork environment in a particular location, and then it was all about go-to-market to get the startups to sign up and essentially become members. So, you know, a lot of sales, a lot of marketing, had a lot of experience in go-to-market. It wasn't about buying real estate. It wasn't about valuing real estate. It wasn't about the transaction. Now, I got a lot of experience with that later and in Central, because Central was an opco-propco structure, which is very different than WeWork. So it leveraged a lot of skills I'd had to that point. And WeWork wanted entrepreneurs, not necessarily real estate people. So in that sense, I fit the bill.
And I would imagine getting to work with somebody like an Adam Neumann, just hanging around that hoop is so valuable.
You know, I think, yes, a lot of learning of what to do and what not to do ultimately, right? But I think breaking barriers, thinking big, being aggressive, being relentless, yes.
Did it change you? Do you feel like you were a different professional when you left from when you started?
I like that question. I remember that one of the first times I met Adam, we were in an offsite with the top 30 people. One of the first times we spent significant time together, and he looked at me across. We were like at one of those fire pits, you know, gas fire pits. We're all around it, and he looked over at me and he said, "John, you need to take off your armor." He was speaking in his heavy Israeli accent. "Your armor." He thought I was too stiff. He thought I was too corporate, and I think it was interesting because it was a bit of a wake up for me in terms of how was I showing up? What sort of face was I putting on when I came to work? Was I being authentic? And I think that the way it changed me in part is I don't really believe that we have a home self, a work self. We have one self. And and it doesn't mean that we behave exactly the same way at work or communicate exactly the same way at work versus in our personal lives. But I think the opportunity is to figure out how to be ourselves wherever we are. And I think it enhanced that for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was listening. I saw a meme or something with Henry Rollins, and he said there's no spare time or there's no relaxing time. It's just time. All you have is time. That's it. There's no this is your life. Now go. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Type of thing. And it's hard. I mean, I think that's the true second half of life, at least for me, that I've learned is it's okay to bring who I am to any place. I don't have to pretend to be anyone else or create this, you know. I think the first half of life is creating this exterior and building this kind of house around who I am. And then it's all of a sudden like filling it up with like real things, you know, or taking that part down and realizing I'm okay without building that up. So anyways, I guess like, what have you learned? Like, obviously your separation, divorce was played a significant role in who you are now. Like what were the big things you have learned through that?
Mm. Well, where do I start? This isn't one of those podcasts that goes 3 hours.
No, we got about 5 more minutes to questions.
Yeah, 5 minutes. Okay, good. I see the, I think I might get yanked off of this thing. Well, gosh, so much.
I think that, you know, when you go through a very difficult life experience that is very emotional, and strikes you to your core and touches you to your core, you have an opportunity to look at how you've been living to that point in your life, what's been driving you, what influences from childhood and otherwise have been driving you, and what emotional states have been driving you, what thought patterns have been driving you. I think that I've learned a lot more empathy. And I've learned a lot more about myself and my own drives. I think that there's an amazing domain in psychology called internal family systems. This guy named Richard Schwartz founded it. It's become quite popular, IFS. It's called Parts Work also.
Uh-huh.
And it teaches us to understand the different parts of our psychological makeup and emotional makeup and how they influence our behavior. One of my guests in my podcast this year, Derek Haswell, is the co-founder of 10% Happier, which is the meditation app and the podcast. And Derek is an executive coach who does parts work. And he referred me to this amazing woman I've been doing work with. And in parts work, you learn about your exiles. So for instance, when we're very young, we all adjust our behavior to get along. We suppress certain parts of ourselves. We enhance other parts of ourselves to get love, to get respect, to get along in our family of origin. And when you go deeply into that and you're able to kind of integrate all those parts, those emotional parts, it's very freeing. I mean, that's really the journey that I've been on. And there's lots of other stuff, but you know, I'll pause. Because I know this is not a 3-hour podcast.
I kind of wish it was.
Yeah, let's break the rules. No, I'm kidding. That's awesome, man. Because I know parts work. I've never done parts work, but I'm familiar with it. And I'm Schwartz. And yeah, that's my world, man. This whole spiritual, internal, family of origin stuff. That's the world I've been swimming in for the last couple of years too. So,
it's big.
It's awesome, and it's unlimited. It never stops.
Never stops.
Yeah,
because
you never get to
the path never stops.
You never get to the finish line, unfortunately, sometimes. Just want to get there and chill.
Right.
Nope.
No such luck.
Well, it's autumn weather here, and at least what's the weather like in Scarsdale? Autumnish?
It's autumnish for sure.
Scarsdale. Oh, I know Scarsdale.
I'm a New Yorker.
Yeah, Scarsdale's a great town.
Thanks.
The property tax is high, but I know your public schools are very good.
Our public schools are great.
Yep, I know.
2 kids who went through them.
Well, if it's autumn there, get prepared to go near the equator because you've just entered the hot seat.
So the first question is...
Is that to me or Lisa?
Don't be scared, John.
Don't be scared.
Oh, okay. Be scared, John.
All right. I'm not.
He was shocked.
I think it's actually... this is a good question for you, but... we'd love any book or podcast recommendations that you have, obviously sure. Above and beyond your own.
Yeah, of course. Be a little self-serving if I pitch my own. Well, I'm reading a book right now called The Silva Method, S-I-L-V like Victor A. It's an oldie but goodie if you're familiar, Lisa.
Yeah.
So maybe at least you're familiar with it. I found it. Initially, when I saw some of the media around it, I thought it was a little kitschy. But then I bought the book and practiced some of the meditation techniques. It's really all about influencing our own subconscious for more positive outcomes in our mental and emotional states and in our lives. There's a spiritual aspect to it as well, but I found it really compelling. And I'm actually going to be working with a Silva Method teacher and master to learn more about it. So that's the book I'm into right now.
Great. And now, is that, sorry, this is just part B. Is that, he's the Mind Valley guy, right? Did he create that?
So the Mind Valley guy who's all over YouTube, who's the, I think he was a tech entrepreneur who found the Silva Method. I think he took that IP and made it his own through Mind Valley.
Yeah.
But the original guy, Jose Silva, who was from Laredo, Texas, who wrote the book, who developed the approach and wrote the book decades ago, was just a very simple guy who taught his 10 children this method he developed, and they performed so much better in school. He started getting inundated by parents saying, "Can you teach my kids?" And then the parents wanted to learn, and that's what blew up in terms of the Silva Method. So the Mind Valley guy, I think, has taken it and made it more commercial, but the original is Jose Silva.
Interesting.
I don't know that one. I'm going to check it out. Next question. What is usually, I mean, this is typically a real estate podcast. We wanted to switch it up a little bit because it is related to that, but also there's a ton of people that listen and like that we work with and, you know, are at this stage in their life where they're, you get to a point, you're like, wait a minute, I just worked my ass off. Well, now what did I do it all for? Like, what's the purpose of all of this? You know, you got to make a little bit, you know, or a big adjustment for some people. So, but what is you, I guess, what is you, the question we ask is, what is your most memorable deal? But I guess, I don't know how we can change that up a little bit. What has been your most memorable? I already asked you kind of what you learned, but what is the thing that you have shed? What have you shed from your first half of life that you are happy to let go of for your second half of life?
Oh, that is a great question. Let's see. I'll reposition the answer to your question. And I'll do it this way. My DNA is such, my DNA is, Jews who fled Eastern Europe. Okay. So when you have from Central Europe, in fact, my father's side, Ukrainian refugees came in the 20s. So a lot of stress, a lot of trauma. And so when that's in your DNA, you wake up every morning with a pit in your stomach to achieve or to survive. That's just in my DNA. Now, it's a double-edged sword, because that profile is very effective for business and for certain things. But it can also lead to a lot of unhappiness because nothing's ever good enough. And it also feels stressful. But what I realized actually through parts work is that drive that I've always felt, it wasn't actually anxiety or that kind of stress. It was just my pure energy to bring my light and my contribution to the world. And I totally changed my relationship with the physical feeling and the emotional experience. So I think
I love that.
What I've shed is the assumption that the mental, emotional, physical feeling of stress, which can show up in your body, right? Like low back or headaches, but managed the right way, it's just powerful. It's a positive, not a drag.
Change the story around. I love that. Yeah.
The story. Because we develop stories about our lives, our physical health, our emotional experiences. And when we develop negative stories, they actually come to life. We're very powerful beings here, and we can create a lot through our thoughts and our emotions.
Right. And then the trying to control what you think the outcome should be is always a very fascinating.
But also, I know for me, like the shame around it, like, oh, I shouldn't be feeling this way. I shouldn't have this. Yada, yada, yada. So.
Yeah, Lisa, just what you said is also when we're not white knuckling it and success has to look like this, boy, that makes it less enjoyable.
That absolutely does make it less enjoyable. And I feel like it just with parenting, it's always interesting to observe people and how everyone thinks they're doing the best thing for their kids, but maybe they'd be better off if they kind of were left to their own devices. All right. I know it's not a 3-hour podcast, so I will move us on, even though I could keep talking for hours. So I assume you've hired a fair amount of people throughout your time. I'd be curious just to hear what you look for when you hire people, and maybe that's changed over time.
Yeah. Well, so I think the first thing is we need to learn to trust our intuition. So when you first meet someone, we had a saying at WeWork, do they smile from the heart? Is the person authentic? Now, sometimes someone's nervous, right? If you're a senior person in a company, they're coming in. And so give them a break to get past any nervousness. That's natural. But are they authentic? Do they smile from the heart? That's a big thing, particularly if you're hiring them to interact with people. I think number two is, are they a good communicator? And do they understand brevity of communication? Getting to the point. I think the next is resilience and flexibility. Super important. I think humility. And then, of course, the subject matter expertise.
Wow. That was concise. I love it. What, you know, there's a myth that we, you know, the American myth that like the cowboy in the West, like we, you know, built their lives by themselves, which is all just full of baloney. But like, so we, Lisa and I are big, our mentors and people that, you know, we stand on the shoulders of the people who come before us. Like who have been the biggest mentors in your life?
Well, so, I think one would be, that's not in my family, would be a guy named Jeff Beatty, who was a high school teacher, who's actually a sort of a coach. And he was a big time college pitcher. He started a camp called the New Sport Experience Camp in Maine. And I was a counselor there for multiple years. And the camp was all about teaching life lessons through sport. So we would call time out in a game, not just because there was a rule broken in that particular sport, but because there was bad sportsmanship or there was something to teach to the kids through the game. So that made a huge impression on me, and I developed a lot of confidence in myself, you know, at that camp and as a teenager. And then I would say my mom and dad in their ways, both great strengths. My father, the ultimate people person, extrovert of service. My mom, a very renegade creative spirit.
Awesome. Well, John, it's great to see you on here. Congrats on the success of your podcast. I can't wait to listen to it. And I can't wait to come by the new studio.
Hey, listen, I will let you know when it's ready. And yeah, we'll figure out, you know, monetization. Maybe you bring me fresh fruit and, you know, I give you an hour.
I'll bring you fresh
harder fruit. Or I don't know. We'll see.
I have a lemon tree right out here.
Okay. I have a lemon tree, so we'll have to figure out.
Son of a gun. I got to plant another.
Okay, we're in California.
That's going to be my exciting time.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Beyond the Resume, a Jackson Lucas podcast where we take a deep dive into the career journeys of some of the top minds in real estate and equip you with the knowledge to move forward in your path towards the success you've envisioned. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe to Beyond the Resume. Be grateful for your support. All episodes of Beyond the Resume are brought to you by Jackson Lucas, building inclusive and diverse businesses through talent acquisition. Visit us at jacksonlucas.com.